like dying, a slow, painful death. It can take the very life out of someone, right down to their last breath. Yet when your hand and mine starts getting tight,
and welcome to 7x70. We're coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday evening, December 21st, almost the last Thursday of the calendar year of 2017, but not quite. But we do welcome you, and I say thanks for tuning in. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard, and what a privilege and an honor it is to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone to be able to share a few things with you. Going to read some of the word tonight. Looked at the news a little bit today, and I just couldn't bring myself to really get into the current events, what's going on. Sure glad to see things are changing. Our prayers, the pistol prayer we've been praying, is we're seeing that being answered. Praise God for that, and we are continuing to do that. But thought I'd talk about, got some things in the Word that kind of came to mind this week, and had a suggestion, had an email sent in this week. I thought I'd share that with you regarding what I wanted to talk about tonight. We'll go to our Lord in prayer first. That's always the best thing to do. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this good cold weather in its season, for the snow we had today and for the snow coming. Lord, thank you. Your word says, we'll read it again tonight, Lord, how you have created all of this around us, and you put it in perfect motion. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the weather. Lord, we thank you for the stars. What beautiful stars out tonight and are out in the morning. And Father, for all things, help us to remember to do that, Lord, for all things. We thank you for the change in leadership in this country, Lord, that we've seen now for a year, and what a change it has been, Lord. No, it's not your full restored kingdom, but Lord, it's better. It's better. And so, Father, I thank you for that. Father, I pray that, Lord, your people would not be lazy when it comes to this, Lord, that they would not just think that all is done. But that, Father, it would turn your people to return to you, that it would turn their hearts, Lord, to not just thinking of themselves, but to thinking of others as well. Lord, to sharing one another's burdens. That's the prayer for that revival that I have, Lord, that I ask you. Lord, if anything we can do, guide and direct us. Here we are, Lord. Use us. Here we are. Send us. Send me, O Lord. Use us as you see fit to further your gospel, to further your blessings on this country, Lord, and on the people here, the people that know you, the people that are obedient to you, that not only believe, but that obey. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you again for the time here on the radio, Lord. Thank you for those that support us, that tithe, that make these broadcasts possible, Lord. We pray your blessings back on them 100-fold, 1,000-fold as you see fit, Lord, as you see fit. But we thank you for them. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that from the beginning you made a way. You made a way to bring us back, to redeem us, to give us a way back to you. Lord, we've all been as the prodigal son. Father, thank you that Lord, you allowed us, you brought us back to our senses to come back into relationship with you. And we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you willingly went to the cross, that you willingly bore our shame, the shame that we were due, and that you forgive us. Thank you. Thank you for that. Holy Spirit, I ask you to be with me tonight, to give me the thoughts and the words, to share with your remnant that, Lord, it would be even just a small blessing to them. And that's my prayer, Lord, and my request. Thank you, Lord, and let all that we think, say, and do, let it bless you, and let it, we praise you, Lord, in all that we are. In Jesus' name, in Jesus the Nazareth, amen and amen. And a cold night here, 4 below 0 outside, a little brisk here at the Radio Ranch. Thank goodness for heat and fireplaces and wool socks. And it's just that time of the year, at least out west here, for it to be cold. And so we rejoice in it. No complaining. We just rejoice in it. Talked to some extended family down in Florida today where it's 80 degrees, and wasn't too coveting. We'll get back down there in the summer and get back to the beach sometime. But, you know, for now, this is where we are, and, hey, this is what we're doing. And this is the weather we have. So if you have some weather better than 4 below 0, thank God for it. Maybe you're only 0. That's better than 4 below. So we can thank the Lord in all things. If you've been reading your Bible, I wanted to touch base real quick on the Bible reading plan. We're in Psalms 146 to 148, almost finishing out the year. And hopefully you've been reading your Bible. You see here this part, these parts of Psalms are praise Psalms. Even back in 144, Psalms 144, it starts out, "Bless the Lord, who is my rock." And Psalms 145 says, "I will praise you, my God and my King." And I hope that you see our Lord, our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ that way. I hope that you do, that you see Him as your rock and as your God and as your King. And so today's Bible reading follows right in line with that. Psalms 146, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I tell myself. I will praise the Lord as long as I live, it says. I will sing praises to my God even with my dying breath. And we better be that way. Oh, Lord Jesus, let me, I claim this, and Lord, let me do this very thing as well. Let me praise you with every breath I have up until my last breath. Talked to a man on the phone, and he asked about praying. He said, "Well, you guys put something in the newsletter here a while back about praying at morning, noon, and, you know, noon and 3 and 6. Is that some, you know, where's that in the Bible?" Well, you know, Daniel prayed. And he asked, is that a requirement? Is that something I have to do? And I said, no, you don't have to do it. It's a choice. We are to along this line, we are to be praying continuously in the Spirit. And that's what it talks about here. I will sing praises to my God even with my dying breath. That's a choice. If you want to do it, do it. Claim it. Plan on it. practice now so that when you breathe that dying breath, it's praising God. We had a neighbor pass away this past week. Talked about it a little on the prayer meeting last night. One of the settlers, not settlers, one of the, I'd say, founders of the community out here. And Miss Rita was 80 years old. She'd been married for 62 years, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And she passed away in her sleep, peacefully, in her sleep, in her bed, at home. And that is a blessing. That itself is a blessing, to be able to do that. I hope you have that confidence. It only comes from the Word. It only comes from the Lord. Psalms 147 says, talking about, again, praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How delightful and how right. And then it goes on and says, gives reasons why we should praise Him. He heals the brokenhearted. He counts the stars. His power is absolute. His understanding is beyond comprehension. And I've got this highlighted in my Word. Verse 11 says, rather, the Lord's delight is in those who honor Him. And so I want to ask you tonight, it goes on, those who put their hope in His unfailing love, do you honor the Lord? And that's a question from me to you, but it's a question between you and the Lord. It really is. Do you honor Him? Because His delight is in those who honor Him. It says in verse 13, blessed your children. He blesses your children within you. He has fortified the bars of your gates. He blesses your children, your family. You look in Psalms 148, verse 5, it says, He has issued His command, and they came into being. And that's from the stars to the fish to everything. This is the God we serve. In verse 14, He has made His people strong, honoring His godly ones. Are you strong in the Lord? Is your delight in Him? Because His delight will be with you if you honor Him. His delight is not in everybody. His delight is not in all red and yellow, black and white. They're precious in His sight. That is not in the Bible. That's from man. That's why reading this Word is so important, Remnant, so you can have discernment, so you can differentiate. We're going to go in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2. We're going to start verse 9. Have a little bit to read here. And I want you to think about this. It says, but just as it is written, things... And this is a quote back from, I think it's Isaiah, but things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those that love Him. And see, this ties in with this praise the Lord and why we praise Him, why we bless Him, why we should with our actions bless Him. And why we do praise Him. Because God has prepared for all those who love Him things which the eye has not seen, things that the ear has not heard, and things that have not even entered the heart of man. That is what God has prepared for those that love Him. So says the Word. I believe it. I stake my life on this. It doesn't say for all. It says for those who love Him. Psalms 147:11 says, the Lord's delight is in those who honor Him. Let's go on. Verse 10, 1 Corinthians 2. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man who is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Verse 14 says, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. And verse 16, but who has known the mind of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And so a couple things that jump out at me from that 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 16, is that there are things prepared for us that love God that can't even enter into our imagination. We can't even think about the great things that are in store for those who love Him. Verse 14 says, a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. And so the natural man wants to look and see and feel, and I want it written down on paper. I want the promise. I want to see where he's done it for somebody else, and I want him to guarantee he's going to do it for me. See, that's the natural man. He doesn't understand it. But the spiritual man sees it, sees that it's foolishness to the natural man, that it's foolishness to the world. But the spiritual man, he understands that there are things prepared for him because he loves God. There are things prepared for us because we love God. It is the Lord's delight. He delights when we honor him. How do we honor him? And that's kind of a lead-in to this email I got this week. And it's from a Christian. How about that? And I just wanted to share a few things with you because it made me think of a couple things. So I'm going to share it with you. It says, so let me start here. It talks about how closely do you hold on to the money in your wallet? And truth is, the answer to that has a lot more to do with how much is in your wallet than you think. And he goes on to this article and talks about the law of generosity, the law of sowing and reaping, and has to do with not just tithing, but with giving and having the right attitude about that, okay? And so 2 Corinthians 9, we've already read from 1 Corinthians. We read that, 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10. And it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. He should not give wishing he could keep it. See, that's the wrong way to give. That is not giving with that loving heart. Let's go on. And he should not give if he feels he has to give. God loves a man who gives because he wants to give. When you give generously, God will give you all that you need. He will also give you more than enough. When you give, you will have everything you need for yourselves, and you'll have enough left over to give when there is a need that you see. It's God who gives seed to the man to plant. He also gives the bread to eat. In the same way, he will give you more seed to plant and make it grow, so you will have more to give away. See, that's God's way. That's foolishness to the natural man. It's foolishness to the world. See, it's a concept of the more you give, the more you get. And people just can't figure that out. And we read in the scripture why they can't, because they're just of the natural. They call it foolishness. People don't understand it. Well, one reason they don't understand it is because there is selfishness that's out there. This article here talks about it being a scarcity mentality. And they think that everything is limited. There's only so much. There's only so much money. There's only so much time. There's only so much food. There's only so much that I can do. And because they think that, they want as much of it as they can get. And they think that it's better to be selfish and to get mine. You get yours. I got mine. You get yours. Than to be generous. the mentality is that, well, if I spend this $50 that I've got on somebody else, if I give it to someone in need that needs it, well, that's $50 less for me. And see, that's the attitude of the world. I was talking to my brother-in-law today and talking about how we were talking about greed and how that love of money. You got to have money. You know, everybody's got to have money. Everybody's, you know, it's just what it takes. But the love of money, the greed of bringing in these foreign workers and paying them less than they would pay an American worker and giving them less benefits and, you know, all types of this. This mess that we're in is because of sin, and that sin of greed and covetousness is so prevalent and such a reason for why we are in such a mess today. But see, when you have that mentality that we're talking about, that gimme, 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 I need more. And the more I get, the happier I am, is just wrong. Because the way that life works, this life that on this earth that our God has created and He's put in place, see, He gives the option there to give or not to give. But people think that the more that they hold on to and keep, that the more they'll have. But it's really just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Because if you sow sparingly with others, others aren't compelled and aren't encouraged to sow back into you. You'll hear sometimes things like, oh, it's karma. No, it's not karma. That's just things that when the people want to deny God, they want to deny Jesus Christ and His will and His way and His law that is in place, whether we like it or not. And they try to attribute it to something else. Oh, well, he got what he deserved. Well, it goes a little deeper than that. It when we read through the scripture, we see God doesn't bless, I like how he puts it here in this article, scarcity-minded people with more. Because he knows that the people will guard it for themselves. They'll keep it. They'll hoard it unto themselves. And that's just the opposite of what God's desire is. Remember the parable of the three talents. The man is going on a trip, and he calls his servants in. And to the one he gives, five talents. And he says, you know, you take care of this while I'm gone. And to another he calls in and gives three. Now, wait a minute. You might say, well, wait, that isn't fair. He gave the one guy five. He's supposed to give them all five. Well, see, that's your natural mentality. That's you thinking about things in the natural. No, life is not fair. If we all went out here and ran up to the road and back, we'd all get back at different times if we made it back at all. That's not fair. That's life. That's the way it goes. Anyway, the parable of the talents, he gives the one five, he gives the one three, and he gives the one, if I remember it right. I didn't turn near my Bible. When he comes back, the one that has five has gained. He's invested it. He's used the blessings that the master gave him. And he's blessed with more because of it. This, on a smaller scale, the one that's given three, the same thing. Look, I've done better too. And he's blessed because of it. What about the one that's given the one talent and he just keeps it? He just holds on to it. He doesn't risk anything. He doesn't do anything with it. It's taken away from him. Because God's desire is to prosper his people and for them to grow with what they have. Does that make sense? We all have different abilities. We all have different talents. We all have different levels of blessing. We have different funds available. But he expects us to grow with it so that we can bless others. Now, the opposite of this scarcity-minded is the abundance mentality. People with an abundance mentality can't wait to give and be a blessing to others. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about rich people just giving money. But it's an attitude, it's a frame of mind to have. And some people give, they can't wait. They look for opportunities to give, not to be recognized by men, but because they know that it's pleasing to God, that it honors Him, it honors God to do that. It makes them happy. It makes them content. And it improves their lives. And it gains more for them. We're talking about people that thrive on giving and on helping. And in return, God blesses them with even more so that they can continue to spread those blessings. They can continue to bless others. They can continue to spread that wealth around and the love of Christ with it. I give you an example. I'm not going to give you his name, but I give you an example of a Christian man that makes good money, but he gives more money away than a lot of people make. And he's tried to outgive God, and he can't. But God still works with him and says, well, I'm going to give you more. See if you can outgive me now. And this brother gives it away and looks for opportunities. I can tell you this brother knew of a man that was homeless. And we just had a snowstorm. It's 4 degrees below zero here. It's cold like that in Colorado. It's not quite that cold in Nebraska, but it's cold. It's cold all around. That's a little too cold to be, you know, homeless and living on the street. And so this man that tries to outgive God, he tried. He saw the need. And so he set up a hotel room for this man and let him know, hey, this is just the way it is. You got to go do this. You got to get off the road, off the street. You got to get into a room. And there's other things going on to get this man off the street, but this brother looks for areas. We should do that. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. Let's take a look at that. States, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Yeah, and I know some people like that. It goes on and says, another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. I hope you write that down. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. I've got a little different sword here tonight, so I've got some different versions here, but it gets the point across. I want you to turn over to James, because that's what comes to mind when I read that. Okay, turn over to James. I'm going to read that in Proverbs one more time. Proverbs 11. And you know, if you don't want to believe it, if you call yourself a Christian, and you know, and a lot of what we're talking about tonight is tithing, but that's not all of it. It's giving. It's giving because you want to give. Okay, and it's giving because you see a need, because you want to be part of that. Okay. Proverbs 11, 24 through 25 says, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So, Remnant, I ask you, do you want to be refreshed? You know, wasn't that Pepsi or Coke had a commercial? Refreshing. I hadn't watched TV and consistently in 20 years. You see commercials, but I can remember something like that, refreshing. You want to be refreshed? Something that some Coke or soda can never refresh you like. You want to be refreshed? Let's go to the scripture, and it says, if you want to be refreshed, refresh others. If you want to prosper, be a generous person. If you want to grow richer, give freely. That's what the scripture says. Now, you can believe it or not. So I ask you, which mentality do you have? What frame of mind do you have? When we read there in Proverbs, it reminded me of James 5. Let's go to James 5. And let's see, where am I at? Am I there? We know that if we want to be healed, how about this? Do you want healing? Anybody out there want healing? Do you want healing, anybody? Does anybody want? I'd like, you know, sometimes we need healing. Sometimes we need healing. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Do you see the concept that I'm trying to get across? See, when we do unto others, it is done unto us. That is a principle of God, a Christian principle. A Christian law, you might say. Okay? Pray for each other so that you may be healed. So if you need healing, buddy, you better be praying for others. That's how you get healed. You pray for others. You want to grow richer? Give freely. If you want to suffer want, then withhold all you can. How about that? Right there in Proverbs. So what mentality do you have? What mentality? Do you have the mentality that I'm just going to hold on to it, buddy? Or do you have that mentality of a giving mentality, a sharing one another's burdens? Okay? And so whichever mentality you have, if you think you just need to hang on to it, well, you know, the Bible says you can test God. If you call yourself a Christian, you can test God in this and see which way it works out. We've shared that with you. It's in Malachi 3:10. Of course, the Lord says, test me in this, says the Lord. Test me in this. Let's flip over. It's probably worth flipping over and reading there. And seeing, I've got a different Bible tonight. And I'm just not as familiar with it. Still get the job done. It will. So, you know, Malachi 3. Let's take a look. Malachi 3. I'll start here in verse 8. I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you descendants of Jacob are not already completely destroyed. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you've scorned my laws and failed to obey them. Now return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. And you know, the people, instead of saying, oh Lord, we'll return to you. Yes, let us return to you. You know what they say? How can we return when we've never gone away? See, they didn't even see that they had pulled away from God then and not honored him, as we read in Psalms. So that he would delight in us, or delight in them. And he goes on and says, how can we return? Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But Jess, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And he says, you've cheated me from tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for the whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. And if you do, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Let me prove it to you. It's a little New Living Translation, a little different than we've heard before. But it's what he says. And it doesn't mean, and I'm not begging for money here, folks. I'm not. I'm trying to get a point across, the pastor got across to some of us anyway, that if you want to prosper, you have to have not the natural man's earthly mentality about it. So if you don't have much money, give what you can. Everybody can afford to give something. You know, if all you've got is $5, take that and bless someone with it. See if it doesn't come back to you. Jesus Christ says, whenever we do something, even for the least among us, it's like we're doing it for him. And when we do that for the least among us, it blesses us as it blesses them. couple months ago, was driving through Colorado, and we pull into a little plaza, and there's somebody up, you know, holding a street sign. And I don't give money, I can tell you that, but I try to keep a flat of water. I try to keep some water bottles in the truck. So as we drove by, I handed it to my son. I said, you know, you want to give him a bottle of water? It was warm out. So he said, sure. So we drove up as we were leaving the plaza, and gave him a bottle of water. He said, thank you, and that was that. And so I the thought occurred to me, and I shared it with my son, that those scriptures, that when we do it for the least among us, we have done it for Jesus Christ. And so I asked him, I said, did you know you just gave a bottle of water to Jesus? And he kind of looked at me. And so, and don't get me wrong, I'm not calling that homeless guy on the side of the road Jesus, but that's what the scripture says. When we do it to the guy that's dressed scruffy with an old beard and raggedy clothes and smells bad and all that, when we do it for him, it's like we've done it for Christ. If you don't like the scriptures, you know, I'll send you a Sharpie. You can mark them out. But it's what it says. Luke 6:38 says, give, and it will be given to you. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. See, it's all through the scripture. It really is. And it applies to that homeless guy on the street. It certainly does. It applies to this ministry as well, if you're part of this ministry. We do need your support. We do. This ministry has always been supported by tithes and free will offerings. It still is today. It still is today. There's many that wonder how it is still supported. Our pastor passed away in 2011. Well, the messages that he had, they continue to go out. Many of you know that almost everything that our pastor did was archived, and we are still going through archives. We're still going through old reel-to-reels, old, it was actually professional-grade video that was shot on several of the old sermons that have to be played back in. Jason does a great job of that, playing it back into the computer, getting through, editing where he can, trying to make sure that the audio matches up with the video, and then making them available. Many of the messages that we play on Sunday morning at the Sunday morning church were only seen. Maybe they've been heard. The audio might have been was recorded and might have been sent out on the old CD or tape ministry, but many times the only people that saw those videos were the ones in the crowd that day, the ones in the assembly. And I have found that in speaking with many people that call into the ministry, that the messages that we are seeing today from our pastor, from our prophet, are just as relevant, if not more relevant today than they were when he preached them. When he first preached them, he was certainly prophesying. He was certainly warning the people. He was telling them like it is, saying, this is what the scripture says. And if you do it, this is the curse, if it's sin, that you're going to have. And also telling the biblical plan of salvation. None of this, raise your hand, brother. Have you just say with me, I'm a sinner. Lord, I believe you. And thank you, Lord. I know you've done everything for me. See, the sinner's prayer doesn't do anything. Find it in the scriptures for me. Our pastor taught us that. If you have to break with family over the Bible, are you going to deny God for family? No. We go with the scripture. We read it, we obey it, and because our pastor stood on that, and we have done our best to stand on it as well, to continue in his footsteps, to continue to build on that foundation that's based on built on that rock of Jesus Christ, that if his word says it, that's what it says, and it's true. And if you don't like it, if you think it's something else, well, that's between you and God. You take it up with him. We've offered several times in our Volume 6 newsletter this year. Volume 6, 2017, was entitled The Courts of Heaven. Great long article, took up almost the entire newsletter, but a fantastic article. But we had a little thing in there called God's Prosperity Plan. And, you know, our pastor taught and preached on this important subject. And it goes along with, as you help others, you are blessed. As you bless others, you are blessed. As James 5 says, as you pray for others so that you can be healed. Okay? Not making this up. You can read it. You let me know if you think I'm misquoting. I'm taking it out of context here. I don't think I am. 2 Corinthians 9, we talked about sowing sparingly and reaping sparingly. Sowing generously and reaping generously. Proverbs 11, the one who gives freely grows all the richer. The other one withholds and only suffers want. Do you see this concept? A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Well, our pastor taught on that. And it is a very important subject that the natural man does not get it. And they don't get the blessings that come with it either. But he taught on it several times. You know, give it. But our pastor taught on it in through several messages. I'll share them with you real quick here. But giving the biblical truths and insight into the blessings that God wants for his people. Now, it's often misaligned by the prosperity gospel, they call it. No, there is one gospel, and it is the good news, and it is the entire scripture from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And when you pull something out of it and you only focus on one thing, this or that, well, then it's not all the gospel. And this prosperity gospel is not all the gospel. We read in Psalms that God delights in those that honor him. Well, he says, if you love me, what do? Just believe? Like the demons? No. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do what I say to do. If you want a greater understanding of the biblical concept, the biblical truth of tithing and prosperity, okay, we can get that for you. If you want to have the biblical keys to God's prosperity from the Word, Pastor did 5 messages that pertain to this. I know he mentioned it in several others. I know when we first came on the ministry 25 years ago now, when we would get the tapes, you know, it wasn't as common a theme as baptism, but our pastor preached on baptism because he wanted his God's people to be saved, to be forgiven of their sin. And he preached on tithing and on this biblical prosperity plan because he wanted God's people to be blessed. And we certainly want that as well today. I know I have been blessed beyond my wildest dreams already since we started tithing over 25 years ago. Five messages. I'll share them with you real quick. One is the bravest thing Elijah ever did. Another one is basic economic principles. Another one, and then Pastor did kind of a 3-part series on tithing. The basics of tithing, the nitty-gritty of tithing, and tithing in the kingdom. And so we offered these 5. We've got them for you. We offered them for a special offering of $20. That barely gets it covered, making the CDs, printing them, and shipping them out to you. Postage rates going up January 21st again. And it's up to you. If you want to know the biblical plan of prosperity from the scriptures, well, we've got these messages for you. And you may ask, well, why should I tithe to you guys? Why should I do that? Well, if that's where you're being fed, that's where you should support. It's as simple as that. And you know, we do quite a bit here. We don't toot our own horn. Our pastor never begged for funds, and we aren't going to either. We will continue on as long as we can with the support that we can. It's as simple as that. But many don't understand everything this ministry does. We have, of course, several websites. The main website, scripturesforamerica.org, tons of information there, reading materials for people to kind of get started on this Anglo-Israel message. Of course, we have the CD and the DVD ministry. We have, our pastor saw the need for that years and years ago. The CD ministry growing out of the tape ministry, and then the live church services being recorded, put on a DVD, duplicated, and then we mail out, we mail hundreds of those out on Monday. Of course, Bible Worldwide, which broadcasts the Word of God all across the world, 24/7 on shortwave radio. That's in the 1200 megahertz frequency. I don't have that right here in front of me. 12135, I think, is what it is. We still have the print shop where we print books, pamphlets. That there's no free lunch, as our pastor taught us. All that costs money. Of course, the mail room here at the office, was working on mail, took a big tub of mail in today. And that ties right in with the prison ministry. A lot of what we do deals with the prison ministry. We send books and pamphlets and Bibles into the prison as requested. And then, as well as the Bible Law course that continues to grow. There's a large part of our printing is in printing and reprinting that Bible Law course. And we have had countless prisoners write to us and tell us what a encouragement that was and how much they've learned from that. And of course, we don't charge prisoners for doing that. It's made possible because of the support, the tithes, and the offerings of the remnant. Pastor Peter's Vintage Radio Ranch broadcast, the 24/7 broadcasts out on satellite, internet, and shortwave. They go out on WTWW radio, shortwave, on the internet. We continue to do that. There are new people that are hearing this truth for the first time still, daily, weekly, all over the country and truly all over the world. Well, that costs money. It does. And we want to let you people know that. Might be a reminder to you of that, but we are still doing these things. We are still doing these things. And so 1 Corinthians 9:11 says, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? And the material things here are just basically keeping the doors open, keeping the power bill paid, and keeping the broadcast going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we are continuing to do that, and we will as long as we can. And so those thoughts occurred to me. I got this email from a brother, talking about, and this was from somewhat of a Judeo-Christian, not a prosperity gospel, not even a Christian ministry that put this out per se. But I thought it was pretty interesting. It hit home with me. I know our pastor had preached on it several times. Didn't push it, but reminded the people. And that's all I wanted to do tonight was, if you're going to believe the Bible for all that it says. And we do our best to do that here at Scriptures for America and to share it with you. We have a new Bible reading plan for the calendar year 2018 that's coming out. In being good stewards of the blessings that we do have from the remnant, we're not just mailing it out to every person on the mailing list. We are making it available, though, free of charge. If you would like it, We will have it posted at the website the first of the year in this new Volume 9 Dragon Slayer newsletter that just got mailed out. And we'll probably have it emailed out tomorrow, wrapping up a few things on that. But we have the January 2018 Bible reading plan in that. And so the 2018 plan starts in Genesis and Matthew. It's about three chapters of each, Old Testament and New, every day. And it should be able to, it'll allow us to get through the Bible in a year and more. And so it's in the Volume 9. If you would like to get it, there's also a little cutout on page 6 of the mailed newsletter. And if you would like to get the 2018 Bible reading plan and calendar of scriptural events, then just cut this out, put your name and address on it, and send it to us, and we'll send you one. But we're not just going to send them out to everybody and let them just sit on somebody's desk or get thrown away. If you want it, if you will use it, we will certainly send it to you. And you can also just send us an email and ask for it. We've had several people do that already. And so we're doing that. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If you are a Christian, you need to be reading your Bible. We want to be God's delight, as we read in today's Bible reading plan. And we do that by honoring Him, by obeying Him, by saying, "Yes, I believe what's written in your word, Lord, and I will do it." As for me and my house, that's what we do. It's how we've trained our children, and it's what we still adhere to today. Well, folks, we're about out of time. Thanks for joining us. Been listening to 7x70 on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We do broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on shortwave, internet, audio satellite. Ordered a satellite for a lady just the other day, satellite receiver. And we do it because of your support, and that is the only way we're able to continue to do this. And so we thank all of those that support us and that tithe and donate to us, and know that we pray for you, for God's blessing to be poured back out upon you as He sees fit. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw.org. And again, the website, scripturesforamerica.org. Well, Remnant, thanks for tuning in. God bless all that are His. And hopefully you'll join us Saturday morning. We'll be back here Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Eastern, and 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll see you then.
I stood in front of a judge one day, watching the sign papers take everything away. All the things that I worked so hard for all of my life. Just one stroke from the pen in her hand, I felt so weak, could hardly stand. I felt so hopeless, helpless and scared all at the same time. I felt your presence.